Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In 2 Timothy 4:16, we have already examined the Apostle Paul's expression of deep personal disappointment. When he says, "At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me, may it not be charged against them." The unreliability of men is a pretty obvious theme throughout the Scriptures. In fact, the Bible attests to being the Word of God rather than the Word of man, for that very reason, that so many of the biblical heroes, as we would call them, are flawed men whose flaws are recorded faithfully in the Bible. If men were writing this book, that wouldn't be so. They would exalt the virtues of Abraham and not tell about his failures. They would exalt the virtues of David and not tell about his failures. But as we know, God, the Holy Spirit, who is the real author of this book, caused his people to write the good and the bad, and to give us a true and realistic picture of what man is like, even redeemed men, or flawed men. And Paul is certainly experiencing that when he records his disappointment that nobody stood with him at his preliminary hearing in Rome, the trial that preceded the real trial, the official trial, the one that marked him out for execution. "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them," he says. And we'll look a little bit more into this passage as we move along on our Bible study on this Tuesday, October 4, 2011. And I do remind you that we are dependent upon the kindness of God's people in helping support this ministry with your finances. Well, men are weak. Let's just admit it. It's true of me. It's true of you. It's true of all members of the human race, including those who have been born again. The new birth makes some real changes. It's not that people who are saved are only justified in heaven and are not changed in their actual behavior upon earth. No, there are real changes, but even with those changes in our renewed condition, we still are weak. And here's a reminder of it. Paul's friends that we would have hoped would have stood with him were all Christians, but they did not stand with him. They forsook him. When Paul is writing this, it's probably around AD 67, which means that it is following the terrible fire in Rome that burned so much of the city, and that fire instigated tremendous persecution against the Christians because, as we know, Nero, the Roman emperor, who was probably insane, decided to use the Christians as a scapegoat and to blame them for the fire. And so tremendous persecution was launched, and it was not a good time to be in Rome. And so from that standpoint, I think you can understand the reluctance of men to stand with Paul at his preliminary hearing. These are not good days to be identified with Christ or with the preeminent apostle of Christ. It's very dangerous. But nevertheless, it's still disappointing. We would hope to see at least a few men, maybe at least one, to rise with courage and say, I'm willing to stand with Paul if it cost me my life. But alas, nobody did. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. All we can say is that though man is weak, God is strong, and we'll highlight that in a moment, but even God's purposes are served in the midst of human frailty. Remember what God said to Paul earlier when Paul prayed intensely on three different occasions to have the thorn in the flesh removed from him, and the Lord spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. That is sufficient with the thorn in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmity, says Paul, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to find that exact quotation. Here it is in 2 Corinthians 12:9. We read in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Paul has just previously described an incredible revelation when he was caught up into heaven and allowed to see things that nobody else had seen. And so he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, puffed up with pride because he had been given revelations that other people had not seen. For that reason, he says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. There's so many things to be learned there. Where do I begin? Where did the thorn in the flesh come from? Well, Paul says it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So it could be said and ought to be said that it came from Satan. But Paul knew who controlled the situation, or he wouldn't have prayed for its removal to God. Yes, Satan was the messenger, but God is in control. Satan was the messenger, but Satan, in the final analysis, turns out to be nothing more or less than the unwilling servant of Jehovah. Not willing, for sure. He's not willingly serving God. Satan isn't saying, what can I do to please God today, like I trust you are, and that I trust I am. I pray every day, Lord, help me to honor you today. Help me to serve you today. Help me to be a faithful and effective servant of Jesus Christ today. I want my life to count for Christ today. I pray that way every morning. In that vein, I pray, using sometimes different words, but every morning I pray that way. Let my life count for Christ today. I want to serve you, Lord, today. And many days when I analyze my day, at the end of the day, I realize that I didn't serve the Lord as well as I could have, and I confess my failure and acknowledge my weakness. I could have been more effective there, Lord. I could have spoken a word in due season here, and I failed to do so. Forgive me. I could have done something in that vein. It didn't occur to me till later, but why didn't I think of it at the time when I really could have accomplished something for the cause of Christ right there, and I let that opportunity just slip by without doing a thing about it? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for not being a more effective servant of yours today. And, oh, dear Lord, you know what I said to so-and-so, and I really shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have said it in that way. Oh, Lord, forgive me and help me to guard my tongue. And at the end of the day, I find myself confessing my sins because of my weaknesses and failures, for they are great indeed. I can identify with these people who didn't stand by Paul. I certainly hope that I would have if I'd been there in that circumstance. I'd like to think so, and yet I know enough about Greg Barkman to know that I am weak. I am far too weak. But, because of the grace of God as it has worked in my life, my desire is to please the Lord. I am a willing servant of Jehovah. I want to serve Him. I will to serve Him. It is my desire to serve Him. It is my goal to serve Him. It is my express desire to serve Him. I want to do that. I want to be an effective tool in the hands of God to accomplish His purposes. Satan is also a messenger of God. He is a servant of Jehovah, but not a willing one. What he does endeavoring to oppose God and God's people. And when he had an opportunity to stick a thorn in the flesh in the side of the Apostle Paul, he gladly did that. He gleefully did that. He willingly did that. He was delighted to do that. I've been wanting to stick it to this guy for a long time. It's been a while since God allowed me to do that. I've stuck it to him various times in the past, but I have wanted to do it again. I've wanted to do it some more. I've wanted to do it in this way, and now I can. And Satan gleefully opposed Paul. And yet it turns out that even in that, he was actually the unwilling servant of Jehovah. There are tremendous lessons there. I hope you catch them. There are tremendous lessons here about the sovereignty of God. There are tremendous lessons here about serving God. In the final analysis, it turns out that everybody serves God, but the only ones who are rewarded for doing so are the ones who do it intentionally, gladly, willingly, desiringly. And those who do it inadvertently, reluctantly, unwillingly, get no credit for it. In fact, they are judged for their unwillingness, their sin, their rebellion, their opposition to the one that they ought to gladly serve, but have taken the opposite position and are rightfully judged by God for their rebellion, their sinful rebellion, and yet God's sovereignty is such that in the final analysis, their sinful rebellion turns out to have served God's purposes. That's one thing we learn from this passage. A thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God used the devil to give Paul a thorn in the flesh to keep Paul from being too proud in order to make Paul more useful for Christ, because if he had been puffed up with pride, he would have been less useful. In fact, he might even ruined his ministry. And so Satan becomes the one that keeps Paul continuing to serve the Lord effectively. Was that Satan's purpose? Not at all. But was that what Satan ended up accomplishing? Exactly so. What an amazing God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.